If you think all car washes are made equally, you're in for a surprise when you experience the Caliber car wash difference. Free detailing stations, air guns, ultra UV protection, and the best washes on the market? Welcome to Caliber Car Wash. Make up for years of subpar washes. Caliber Car Wash memberships offer unlimited washes every month, and with membership tiers, there are options for every budget and wash preference. Are you ready to finally have the clean you've always wanted? Head to CaliberCarWash.com to find a location near you. It's time to experience the next level of car service with a limitless membership.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Well, this man's got some priorities, that's for sure. A Florida man steals an ambulance. Gotta say it like my southern family. Ambulance. Finishes beer before being arrested, say troopers. He's got some priorities, like I said. Michael Esquilin, 43, faces multiple charges out of Tampa. Stole an ambulance on Saturday and, quote, finished drinking a beer in full view of troopers before he was arrested. Yeah, he looks the type. How is this dude 43? What? Criminals look so old. Look, that's why you should be law-abiding, because crime ages you. It ages you. Ugh. So they said that he was fleeing to elude at high speed. It was his like fourth DUI. His license was revoked. He got, these are all charges. Grand theft of emergency medical equipment. Burglary of authorized. Oh my gosh, there's so many. Resisting an officer without violence, etc. He immediately was arrested. He's in the pokey. So that's where he's off the streets. Oh my gosh. Florida man is sentenced for setting an employer's semi-truck on fire at an Omaha airport. Oh my goodness. So that's a pretty big thing. He, 27 years old, Kevin Cady, was sentenced to 5 years in prison, 3 years supervised release for malicious use of explosive materials. Is there any other? So he disconnected his semi-truck's tracking device so his employer couldn't track him. And then he parked it in an airfield and yeah, he legit blew it up. Firefighters had to come extinguish it. The folks who help bring you our illustrious program. It's our friends over at Kel-Tec in Florida, based in Florida, great Florida-based company. The PR-57, it's their new PR-57 rotary barrel pistol, chambered in 5.7. And this is like one of the, well, it's a new, one of the new ones for them. It's the first of its kind. I mean, this thing is so incredibly innovative. MSRP is only $399, so it's super affordable. It's the lightest, and this is why you need it. It is the lightest 5.7 that's on the market. 40% lighter than the next 5.7. It has a very unique top-loading design that replaces traditional magazines with stripper clips for a slimmer carry profile, and you have 20+1 capacity. It is actually perfect for everyday carry for everyone. You can't say that about every 5.7. You can say that about the PR-57 rotary barrel pistol from Kel-Tec, chambered in 5.7. And again, $399. Super, super affordable. And it's incredibly practical. Really, I mean, it's great handling. Mine just came in. I haven't made it to my FFL yet. It literally just arrived. So I have to go get it and then go to the range. You know, it's the same place. So it's great. Visit KeltecWeapons.com to learn more. KeltecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Buster Poindexter is back because inflation is hot, hot, hot. January inflation numbers have continued to climb, and the media has already found a way to pin this on Trump. We've done this to ourselves for a long period of time because inflation is not going away.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
What's your response to Senator Fetterman?
he's not the one to talk about anything. I mean, this is a guy that doesn't seemingly want to own a suit. I'm not really sure. But I don't show up in hoodies when I'm going on the floor. And so the idea that you would say that we could not have a moment in which an influencer asked us to do this. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you and tell you, that when she asked
she doesn't show up in hoodies on the floor, and he doesn't show up with size 18 lashes on his eyes on the floor, where it looks like he went and robbed a spider of their legs. Welcome back to the show. Top of the second hour. Really, nobody needs above a 14. Thank you. Ladies know, guys are like, what? It's like difference in like tools, right? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. Democrats are at each other's throats. I'm here for it. I love watching Democrats fight. Put that stuff up on World Star. There are like so many accounts. Let's just like have them body each other in a Twitter account. That's all we need. They're all mad. They're mad and they're now lashing out. We're at the, what level would this be? Like of stages of grief, I'm trying to think.
Oh, good Lord. They keep moving those goalposts too.
Yeah, they do. I don't know what stage of grief we're at, but all I know is that Democrats are angry at the world, and they're now going after each other. So I wanted to highlight just some of this because it's so adorable. So excited about it. So their party has hit new polling. They got new polling out. The party's hit a new low. In fact, and this is from NBC, who love them. They said, quote, unlike in Trump's first term, Democratic voters, just say Democrat voters, say 2-1 that they want party leaders to fight rather than compromise, even at the risk of not getting things done. They also noted that only 27% of registered Democrat voters have a positive view of their own party. It is the lowest positive rating NBC's recorded since 1990. Only 7% of registered Democrat voters say they have a positive view of their party. Wow. That made one pollster say, with numbers like these, the Democrat Party is not just in need of a rebrand. It needs to be rebooted. Now, they attribute these lower poll numbers to fed up Democrats. According to data, after they watched their party lose to Trump in 2024, now they're saying that they're mad if some of them they feel like their party's not holding the line. Some of them they feel like they're more interested in fighting with Trump than delivering on what they voted for. And then some say they just want to fight. So it's pretty wild. In fact, Pete Aguilar out of California said, quote, when Trump wakes up in the morning and says, you're doing the right thing, Senate Democrats, we don't feel that that's the right place to be, is what he said. That was his direct quote. Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, contrast this with this polling. Highest approval ever that he's ever had, Trump. More Americans say the U.S. is on the right track than in any time in the past 20 years. Also an NBC poll. Oh, look at that. Same NBC poll. Or another one, same outlet. They said that the only problem here, and I'm going to come back to this in a minute, deals with the economy. But they said that according to this survey, they said that people are supporting his trade policy, 41% that oppose. They said 56% on the border, positive, 56% positive. Government cuts, 47%. Only 29 were opposed. Even like on Ukraine and NATO, he has he's got pretty good polling. The only thing, and NBC notes that this is the first time that he's lost a majority on this issue in an NBC poll, is the economy. I have warned you guys over and over again, this is what it's going to come down to. This is what Democrats are going to exploit to take back. Because they could. I want everyone to know, Democrats could absolutely, easily, really take the House in midterms and the Senate. They want to do it through the economy. I know. You're like, wait a minute. How? Wait, the same party that was lined up? Yes, because voters are fickle. It's not something that they don't look at the whole body of work and judge it. It always comes down to what have you done for me lately? 56% disapprove of Trump's handling on the economy. That's the first time they noted he's lost a majority on this issue. He has not won over a majority of Americans on this yet. This is why I keep hammering the point home that they need to be out front and center messaging on tariffs, messaging on tax cuts. And I really think that the sequencing was wrong on this. I think you should have done tax cuts first. And then if you were going to do tariffs, then you do tariffs. But you have to have, consumers need a shot in the arm. They're overburdened. They're overworked. They're overtaxed. You can, tariffs without a reduction of government spending and tax cuts will be an additional tax. That's just the fact of the matter. Just like guys have schlongs, that is how this works, right? We don't trans the language of the economy to suit one side over the other. So that's the realism of it. So now, if they're going to get tax cuts done, since they didn't do it in the proper order, they need to be messaging on that hardcore, and Trump needs to be beating the heads, the brains out of the heads, politically speaking, of House members and Senate members to get this stuff done. Otherwise, midterms are gone. You can say hello to President Newsom in 28. That's not an idle threat. That's just prognostication. That's all that is. So the good news is that he's got really good approval on all of these other issues. But the bad news is that he has not won over, at least according to this poll. And it's a pretty decent poll. The economy. Well, so Lorraine says that the stages are denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Democrats are at anger. So they're at step two. Great. Progress. Great. We still got bargaining depression to go through before they just accept it. How long will that take? I'm just wondering. Just wondering. So this is important to again hit. Democrats, or Republicans rather, desperately, desperately, desperately need to get on the messaging. Now, with all this, you've had Schumer, who has just been taking, he's been throttled by his fellow Democrats, because when they passed that CR to fund government, and I don't know, I'm going to interrupt myself. I have no idea why Democrats were so mad about voting for the CR, because it's literally theirs. There are no changes. There are no cuts. What they did is they moved around certain quantities of cash to make it look like there was a modest cut, but there has not been a cut at all whatsoever. Tax cuts aren't permanent. There's not a single damn Doge cut. In fact, all of the cuts that Doge recommended, they're still funding them till September. All the stuff with USAID, you know, the headlines that you see, no, it's all still getting funded until September. Nothing has changed. So I don't know why Democrats were screaming and crying, because they still got their whole Democrat framework all the way up until September. You know, and Republicans were saying, well, we got to wait until we have, you know, we have to have 60 votes in the Senate to make sure this happens. That's why we can't do this now. So they're going to wait till September when they still don't have 60 votes. That was only ever an excuse. I hope you guys realize that you got played by the GOP establishment with us. Just so long as we all recognize what happened, we can move on. I wasn't screaming into the wind for nothing. So Schumer, though, he was like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and back this bill. And Democrats are mad. They weren't mad when they literally voted for it back in what? Fall. Remember? Actually, December. It was like in December when this one passed. And remember, in December, this was after the election, everyone said, no, we can't do this bill. We can't do the CR or have a budget bill. We got to do a CR. We're going to wait until Congress, the new Congress, to see it. That was the excuse in December. Do you remember September? The excuse before that was, we can't do anything before the election. We got to wait. There's always an excuse. Always, always. Spring is here, and it's the perfect time to refresh your yard with Fast Growing Trees, the largest online nursery in the U.S. with thousands of plants, from fruit trees to privacy hedges tailored to your climate. They make landscaping easy. And plus, their Alive and Thrive guarantee ensures that your plants arrive healthy and ready to grow. I love how hassle-free the process is. You don't have to get your car dirty. You don't have to go to the nursery and have limited options and lug everything around. With fast-growing trees, you can save 90% by planting yourself, and your trees arrive thriving. There's no heavy lifting. you don't have messy car rides. So if you're ready to transform your space, as I am, now's the time. With fast shipping, expert support, and top quality plants, Fast Growing Trees makes it super easy. Get up to 50% off select plants at fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana. Plus, use code Dana at checkout for an additional 15% off of your first purchase. Visit fastgrowingtrees.com/Dana and use code Dana. Offer valid for a limited time. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm Matt.
And I'm Leah, and we're from the Grown Up Stuff podcast.
And just in time for tax season, on this week's episode, we're chatting with CPA Lisa Green Lewis about how small businesses can tackle their taxes using TurboTax Business.
A Forbes study mentioned that a whopping 93% of small businesses overpay their taxes. And 17% of Gen Zers believed that you could write off any expense as a business expense. So
can't blame them.
It's really important to do your taxes right.
Listen to Grown Up Stuff on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
Hey, this is Todd Herman, host of The Todd Herman Show. You might have heard me on Rush Limbaugh's show, or as a regular fill-in for about 8 years. I now do a show out of the high mountains of free America because, you know, I got exiled from Seattle.
Dan Bongino was a conservative when he was in the Secret Service. He has a very serious attachment to the Constitution. But it is unprecedented that you would take a media personality and put them into a position of authority in the White House.
Check out The Todd Herman Show every day on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
A man was set on fire in Times Square, surprisingly, leaving him horrifically burned. No, he was apparently a dude torched a guy in Times Square early Sunday. It was a horrific attack. It was he used accelerant off of a food cart. Golly, the guy, it looks horrible. He looks so, oh my God, I didn't want to see the photo. The search for the attacker continues. He apparently knew the victim, grabbed something containing flammable liquid off a nearby cart, used it to torch the 45-year-old man just before 4 a.m. The guy was standing on the sidewalk, shirtless, huddled in a blue blanket. I mean, he is burned pretty bad. They had him in an ambulance. The footage also showed cops talking to a female companion of the victim, but they're searching for this person. It's just horrible. New York City. We're going to have to do New York City, man. A guy was caught in a viral video calmly eating a raw dead rat on a busy sidewalk in broad daylight. Guys, zombie movies begin this way. This is literally how it happens. He's on a Bronx sidewalk and he picks it up and just starts gnawing on it. It is one of the... I'm done with the story because it's so... I mean, the video, someone was recording it and they zoomed in and it's horrible. I gotta move because I'm gonna get so sick reading the story. I'm not even kidding you. Apparently, walking backwards could be exercise that you need. They're saying that there's a benefit. I don't know. I mean, maybe for balance, but there's a million things that you can do for that, right?
We're talking about issuing preemptive pardons to these people.
But was he aware of his signature being used on every single pardon? That's a question you should ask the Biden White House.
Is there any evidence on that he wasn't aware of it?
You're a reporter. You should find out.
Okay,
Sean.
I actually like that. That's true. That's what you do. Oh, wait. If you started your career rewriting aggregate stories for Daily Caller, and I like Daily Caller, but there's an aggregation aspect of digital journalism, then maybe investigative journalism, you know, isn't your thing if you just get like stuff from producers. I don't know. There's a lot of people in the news like that. They just like get handed packets by producers and they don't actually go and investigate. That has to change. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, top of this third hour on St. Patty's Day. And got a lot of stuff to discuss. Chats at Rumble, Channel 347 DirecTV. Don't forget the podcast, which is the archive. So the question of, well, you're a reporter. That's what reporters do. Reporters are just like, we don't know. We don't know anything. They've forgotten how to report. They've forgotten how to investigate. Or did they? They just didn't want to. Because if it's not there, then it doesn't exist. If they didn't investigate it and get evidence of it, then there's nothing for them to report on. Then Democrats didn't do anything bad. That's kind of like my thinking on it, right? That's sort of, yeah. Why wouldn't you be interested in that? I mean, the story here is the auto pen story. You guys are aware of this, right? The whole auto pen. I've got a pen. I don't know. Now they're investigating because there was the question of, is Biden of sound mind, even like with the pardons? Is he of sound mind to do this? They found that he used an auto pen on like a good number of things, right? How many of the pardons did he use an auto pen on? Like a lot. A lot. Trump had posted and said that they are hereby declared void, vacant. This is caps lock. Void, vacant, and of no further force or effect. And apparently, so he's saying that he didn't, Trump says that Biden didn't know anything about them. I don't know if a president can revoke a pardon once it's been issued. This has to do with Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution. And I don't know if there's like legal precedent on that. It just says he shall have power to grant reprieves or pardons for offenses against the United States, except in cases of impeachment. They have the issue of Bush revoking his own pardon over a guy, I think Red State had a story on Robert Toosey, a conviction making false statements to HUD. Bush revoked that. But that's the same president who issued that pardon who revoked it. So I don't know the legal precedent of that. But Lorraine's done. She's looked at some of this and says that a lot of the signatures don't look matchy-matchy. It is kind of weird. He did sign the pardon for Hunter. That wasn't auto-penned. But I don't know. The signatures are kind of weird looking, you know? I mean, there's a lot of, apparently some of the pardons were signed on January 19th, 2025. The signer certified that they were signed in D.C., except Biden wasn't in D.C. on January 19th, 2025. So why did they say they were certified D.C.? One reporter said that day, that's when Biden was in South Carolina. He was at the Royal Missionary Baptist Church in North Charleston with Clyburn. And he was doing that as it was like a thank you visit to Clyburn, because remember, Clyburn made Joe Biden. Clyburn delivered South Carolina. We've talked about that quite a bit. So I don't know. I don't know about the precedent for that. And then it does bring up questions. Did he even know? If they just had an auto pen and they're just, you know, willy-nilly signing everything. I'm just curious as to how that works. So, but then the media being told, well, you know, you're a reporter, why don't you find this stuff out? I don't know. I think the question is whether or not Biden was aware of it. Now, I'm of the mind, I think you need hard evidence of this first, that he wasn't. I do think you have to have hard evidence. Wait a
minute. How do you get hard evidence that he wasn't?
I don't know.
Aware?
That's the thing. I don't know.
You can't.
But you can't say, because a lot of things use auto pen, like mortgages. I mean, there's like important. What are you going to say? What are you going to say?
Look,
do it.
The
say
location
it.
Matters. If you say, if you're on a legal document, whether it's a mortgage or just a simple,
that's the caveat,
sales contract, the location matters. You can actually legally get out of a contract if it's proven you weren't in the area that the document says you were in when at the time it was signed.
I agree.
It's just the way it is.
I agree. I'm curious about this.
And there's no way to prove whether or not he was or wasn't. There's a way to prove he was aware, but there's no way to prove he wasn't aware.
There's a video that I just saw. Actually, I'm looking at it now, where somebody took all of his signatures and they're morphing it to his actual real signature. I could honestly watch that video for quite, it's fascinating. I'm like, what?
All the auto pen ones are exactly the same. And then the one for Hunter is obviously his signature mm-hmm. in real life.
Interesting.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.